Greetings, everybody. This is the Real Vida Podcast with Real Life Ministries. Eve, Jeremy, and the rest of our Real Life team will be coming right up.
God is calling you.
So God does sometimes speak in a still, small voice, but sometimes he speaks really loud.
Because I know that whatever it is, that God is greater, that God is bigger, that there's nothing that he can't do. He's unstoppable. You can't stop him.
If you have real problems and real hurts with this real life, you need real solutions with a real God. Hey, everybody. How you doing? Let me say hello to James Rogers from LeBlanc Unit in Beaumont, Old Man Jack, Joseph Rotondo in the faith-based program over there at Michael's Unit who
awesome.
Are listening.
Hey, everybody. Come on.
Earl Howell, country boy from Apache Correctional in Florida, Rasheem Stewart, Brian Samples, field ministers in Clements. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you for going into AdSeg, those that do. Bobby Hernandez from Arizona. Thank you. Thank you for spreading the word on the podcast. Lázaro Rodriguez, God is working. Eric Orozco from La Paz Unit in Arizona.
Okay.
Yeah. James Aaron Miller, Dollar, Clinton Bird, Low Man, Puppet, Albert de la Garza, James Willis, Sean Barkley. It's been a while. So hello to you and all Robertson Unit and the Seggers over
there.
What's up, Robertson? We love you guys. Gowan, Edwin Schneider, Mr. Lynch at Cofield, Ronnie Dixon and Michaels, Louis Rivet, Brother Wise, and the Challenge Program. Hello to you guys.
Cool.
Paul Torres and Jason Hicks in Missouri, Freddie Palacios in Washington.
Okay.
Real Talk. Hello to you,
hey,
Big Mike.
Hey.
JD Odin, Michael Parkinson. Let's see, Jaime Flores.
Jaime.
Michael Solomon, Frankie Norris, David Swerline, Shrek, Fight, John Tana, Brandon Vestal, Emmy. I haven't seen you in a while or talked to you in a while. Double A. Daniel Ramirez, Caspa in Missouri, Southside Zombie in Arizona, and Flacco in Michaels. Hello to all you guys, all the Seggers, Life Row, general population, G3s, G5s, Dragoon crew.
Hey.
We don't want to forget anybody. We love you guys, all of you, we're so glad to be here. So we're going to make a couple of announcements. First, our address.
Our address is Real Life Ministries, Post Office Box 131-722, Tyler, T-Y-L-E-R, Texas, 75713. You can find us also at our website, www.real-life-ministries.org. We have almost 50 podcasts already uploaded to our website. If you want to give, and we always need the help, God provides in many ways. Cash App is $RealVidaMinistries, V-I-V-A. It's capital R, capital V, capital M. And in Venmo, it's at Real Vida Ministries.
All right. And I want you guys to remember to tell your families about the podcast, that they can find it on Spotify, iHeart Radio,
Amazon Music, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Castro, lots of different places to find the podcast.
Right. And you know, those that are listening in the free world, you know, if you can give something, you know, anything helps.
Come
to send
on.
In a book,
absolutely.
To send in newsletters, to get stamps. You know, there's just a lot to do. And so, if you're out there listening and, God touches your heart to give, it is always welcome and it certainly will not be wasted for sure.
That's correct.
So, I want to remember to tell you guys this, those that are listening by podcast, radio, and podcast, please spread the word that if you don't see Real Vida popping up or showing when you're scrolling on your Christian app, you've got to type it in, and it's capital R space capital V for Vida, then it should pop up. And I was told by Arkansas over there that if they put Texas in there, that it also pops up Real Vida. I don't know.
Interesting.
So anyway, if you don't see it, we are there. Just type it in and please spread the word to others, because there's people that were saying, we can't find you. You're not on there anymore. And we are on there as long as you type it in. We're just not always showing. We're not sure why that is. But anyways, we are there. And so I did get a letter from a guy that says in Cofield that says, please tell the brother who wrote in about not finding a message on Pando that he can relate to. Tell him tell him and everyone to watch Vision Sunday 2023, Pastor John Allred, I think it says, of Freedom City Church is on Pando.
Awesome.
And they say, he says it's a powerful message. Freedom City Church, Vision Sunday 2023, the miracle movement. So look on there. And if you haven't watched The Chosen, it is on your Pando app. Do watch The Chosen.
Yes. So
very good.
Yeah.
And I think they might only right now have the first season, but hopefully they'll get the other seasons on. And you can watch that too. It is really, really great. So I'm going to read a scripture and then we're going to play a song and then get to the rest of our program. I'm going to read today out of the Message version. It's so great. It is Psalm 51, generous in love, God give grace, huge in mercy, wipe out my bad record, scrub away my guilt, soak out my sins in your laundry. I know how bad I've been. My sins are staring me down. You're the one I violated and you've seen it all. Seen the full extent of my evil. You have all the facts before you. Whatever you decide about me is fair. I've been out of step with you for a long time, in the wrong since before I was born. What you're after is truth from the inside out. Enter me, then conceive a new true life. Soak me in your laundry and I'll come out clean. Scrub me and I'll have a snow white life. Turn me into foot tapping songs. Set these once broken bones to dancing. Don't look too close for blemishes. Give me a clean bill of health. God, make a fresh start in me. Shape a Genesis week from the chaos of my life. Don't throw me out with the trash or fail to breathe holiness in me. Bring me back from gray exile. Put a fresh wind in my sails. Give me a job teaching rebels your ways so the lost can find their way home. Commute my death sentence, God, my salvation, God, and I'll sing anthems to your life-giving ways. Unbutton my lips, dear God. I'll let loose with your praise. Going through the motions doesn't please you. A flawless performance is nothing to you. I learned God worship when my pride was shattered. Heart shattered, lives ready for love. Don't for a moment escape God's notice. Make Zion the place you delight in. Repair Jerusalem's broken down walls. Then you'll get real worship from us. Acts of worship, small and large, including all the bulls they can heave unto your altar. How great is that?
Wow.
So great. The whole thing.
It's so absolutely good. My goodness, I could talk about it all day, so I better not, right?
Hey guys, this is Sam. And I just wanted to share a little something with you that I read today in Acts. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, and it's Acts 18, verses 24 through 28. And it says, meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, an eloquent speaker who knew the scriptures well, had arrived in Ephesus from Alexandria in Egypt. He had been taught the way of the Lord, and he taught others about Jesus with an enthusiastic spirit and with accuracy. However, he only knew about John's baptism. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him preaching boldly in the synagogue, they took him aside and explained the way of God even more accurately. Apollos had been thinking about going to Achaia, and the brothers and sisters in Ephesus encouraged him to go. They wrote to the believers asking them to welcome him, and when he arrived there, he proved to be of great benefit to those who, by God's grace, had believed. He refuted the Jews with powerful arguments in public debate. Using the scriptures, he explained to them that Jesus was the Messiah. And so much God was telling me when I was reading this passage. Here's this man, Apollos, who is like super eloquent, powerful, and accurate in what he's saying,
yeah.
Right? And when I was reading in my notes, it says he's from Alexandria, which has like this huge university that was there. So you know he's like this educated dude, right? And so then there's this husband and wife team, Priscilla and Aquila. I really like them. They hung out with Paul for like 2 years. They were tent makers with him, and they just kind of learned from Paul's life. They were like discipled by him.
Yes.
So they weren't like super educated in the university, but they had some knowledge, right? So they... there was two main points here that God was speaking to me about. Apollos did not shun Priscilla and Aquila, like when they approached him and offered their knowledge to him. And he did not think it beneath him. He was like open to what they had to say. And Priscilla and Aquila didn't listen to this powerful person and was like intimidated. They confidently went to him saying like what they had learned and what they had gleaned and was able to like fill in some gaps for him, right? So it just reiterates the importance of the body, right? Right. Because there's something that Priscilla and Aquila had that this very educated man did not have.
Right.
And they were able to educate him in those things. And it's like that out here. It's like that there in the prisons. You know, we talk all the time, there's these walking Bibles in prisons, right?
Right.
But sometimes somebody has a life experience that they need to match up with their,
right,
their knowledge, sure, in their head, right? It's matching up that head knowledge with the heart.
Yeah.
And so, you know, don't shun each other because you have a different understanding. Apollos was willing to do that, and he was more effective because of it.
You know? Well, you know, it's the Spirit of God too. So, you know, the knowledge and university don't trump the Spirit of God,
right?
And so you have this way about you doing things, but it is best to get other focus and other people's perspective and other, absolutely, experience, because we're a body and that's how God made, right, it. And so one knows one thing better and one knows another thing better. And the Spirit gives direction to,
right,
all.
Right.
Right. And so it should always be that way instead of, well, you know, I've been to university and you have not. So, tell me anything.
Right.
Right. We all need counsel and we can all see better. Right. And we can all learn from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's always great. Right. So we need, right, to, we need that. We,
absolutely,
need very much. And it's part of growth,
yes,
and it's part of maturity.
Right.
Listen to me.
Yeah,
when you
on.
Are immature, you don't want to learn. Listen, so I gave this example a long, long time ago. Listen, Linda, you know.
I heard
and,
this
right. And so a long time ago, right, we had this young guy playing guitar. He was only 16 at the beginning of our church, our Free World Church, a long time ago. And my son also plays guitar, and he was actually the guitar player before this guy came along. But my son also plays drums. And so when this guy came along that could play some guitar, my son moved on to drums. And so then there were songs that this new guy, Chris, did not know how to play. And so I would get my son to, like, okay, show him the chords here, whatever. And he would go, no, I don't want to see it. No, I'll figure it,
yeah,
out. Right. And, he would close his eyes and turn around,
wow,
and no, I don't want to, no, I'm going to figure it out. And, so he would not learn from my son, but, he wasn't that great at figuring it out either. So he couldn't figure it out, but that's immaturity.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
right,
that's just immaturity. Why would you not want to glean from somebody else's experience and learn something in an instant, you know,
right,
and then move on and move and learn more.
Right.
And it's not like he could never show my son anything or what have you. See what I'm saying?
Come on.
Right.
Yeah.
But that we can sow into each other's lives.
Yes.
And so, I mean, that's what we do, right? Even here on the radio, when we're teaching, I'm teaching, my husband's teaching, Sam's teaching or whatever, Carl, we're all pitching in because we're thinking of another perspective,
right,
or experience,
yes,
or scripture or story of kind of the same thing.
Yes.
And so we add to,
yes,
one another.
Right.
And that's what we're supposed to do and supposed to be. So it's part of growth. Now, last,
absolutely,
week we had started on growth and didn't get to finish. So we're going to continue on that today.
Yeah. Hey guys, this is Jeremy and we're going to continue to talk about spiritual growth. Last week we were kind of using the example of building muscles and working out. And just generally when you damage your body and you tear the fibers of your muscles by exerting force on them, what you do is you end up increasing the mass and the size of the muscles over time. So listen, the Christian walk is hard and there's a lot of growth that we need to do and we have to do. And we started with the example of the Apostle Peter, who started out, Jesus said to him, "You're upon this rock, I will build my church." Like, he was the number one disciple, right? And yet he is the disciple that we know the most about his shortcomings. And we talked about a few of them. He had a temper problem and he was very rash and impulsive and he said things without thinking sometimes. He didn't fully think things through. He had a potty mouth and he had kind of salty language. And over time, God cleaned him up and he made him into a patient, wise, gentle, loving man.
Right. And so, you know, the example of being your muscles being torn.
Yeah.
So sometimes the way we think needs to be torn, or the way,
yes,
we act or react needs to be torn, right? So that we can build something new, something
right,
something that's understood, something that's better, right?
Right.
So absolutely, we all in some area need to be torn down, so that we can better ourselves, right? We can line up with the will and the word and the character of God.
Right. So last week we were talking about tearing down the strongholds of human reasoning and destroying false arguments in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So there's a couple of things that we want to go into this week to kind of develop this, but I want to give you an example first. You know, we talked about Peter, right? And he started out kind of a mess, right? He made mistakes all over the place, like big mistakes, spectacular mistakes. He denied Jesus three times the morning that he was crucified. And yet at the end of of his life, I want to read to you real quickly a scripture that he wrote, and it was sent to all the churches to help them understand about his process of spiritual growth. He was warning the church about people who were deceiving others and twisting things around to try and lead people into basically error. And he wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, he says, "I'm warning you ahead of time, dear friends, be on guard so that you will not be carried away by the errors of these wicked people and lose your secure footing. Rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." And that word there, grow, that Peter used, when you look it up in the original language, which was Greek, the word has a lot of richness to it, a lot of meaning. It means to increase, right? It means to expand. It means to shoot up, like in the case of a plant that's growing quickly. I'm a very visual person. So the image that I thought of when I read this scripture, because one of the words that it means, the original language, is to enlarge. And I thought about how the Grinch stole Christmas. Mm-hmm. Okay. So all of y'all have seen How the Grinch Stole Christmas, right? And there's the Grinch. He's up on the mountain. You know, Christmas is coming and all the Who's down in Whoville are getting ready to have a great Christmas. And he just hates Christmas, right? So he's going to go down and he's going to steal Christmas. And it shows you that, and it actually like focuses in the camera in the cartoon, and it shows you his heart was two sizes too small, right? And so he's there on Christmas Eve. He's stealing Christmas. And Cindy Lou Who, the little girl, she comes out. She's so cute. And she starts basically convicting him by telling him, hey, just look at what you're doing. You're robbing all our joy. And why would you do this to everyone? And suddenly something she said convicted him as the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden the Grinch got saved. And it said, even though his heart was two sizes too small, it grew three sizes that day, and it shows you his heart growing so big it breaks the frame on the cartoon. And that's what this word is saying.
Right.
You should grow. Your heart should be expanding and enlarging in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what God is calling us to do. He's calling all of us to grow. Because look, the name of the first church, Eve was talking about the Free World Church that we started back in 2001. The original name of the church was Just As You Are, because the message was God loves you. He accepts you just as you are.
Yes.
But after 7 years, we changed the church name to Daybreak Church, because we don't want people to think that even though God loves you just as you are, and salvation is a free gift, he doesn't intend for you to stay just like you were.
Right.
It's time to grow. Growth is natural. It's a part of the process. It's actually abnormal not to grow. So last week we talked about two aspects of it, and I want to move on to another thing this week, which is consistency. If you want to get big spiritually, you've got to get at it and you've got to stay at spiritual growth consistently. Most people that set a plan or a goal of growing with their muscles and they want to work out, they have New Year's resolutions, most people trail off within 3 months. In fact, 90% are not going to be staying with it. 73% of people who set fitness resolutions end up quitting before they hit their targets. And yet God is calling us to grow. And the only way to get there is we've got to begin to stick with the process and focus on progress, not perfection. In Galatians chapter 6, Paul wrote, "Let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up." Also in James, he says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete or mature, needing nothing. Doesn't do any good to work out for one day or for 1 week or one day a month. You've got to consistently do it over time. So getting free from addictions, you know, like someone who's in AA or whatever, they'll have like a chip. And when they start, the chip says just for today, right?
Okay.
And as someone goes further in AA, Celebrate Recovery, they'll get a 1 month chip, and then they'll get a 1 year chip, and then they'll get their 10 year or their 20 year chips, right? The first day is the hardest. Resisting for the first week is hard. The more wins that you get behind you in addiction, the easier it becomes to say no. In our spiritual walk, it's the same way. There are things that you have to get free from, and it may be hard at first, but as you go, it gets easier and easier. And we've seen that, you know, we talked a little bit about it last week. You know, Carl was an addict for 20 years, and at first he fell. He would make it for a while, and then he would relapse. And then he'd come back to church and he'd get back on the horse and try again. And then he'd go a little longer and then he would fall. And then he got to the point where he never fell again. But it took consistency. It took endurance. It could, he kept having to get at it. So it's the same way with anything. We went to San Francisco this last week, and some of you guys have read the book Chasing God by Pastor Roger Huang, a great man of God. He and his wife started a ministry 36 years ago in the worst neighborhood in San Francisco, and God has just used them to minister to thousands and thousands of people over the last almost 40 years. We got to spend some time with them, and they're amazing, godly people. The wife, her name is Mai Tai, was telling a story before we went to church yesterday morning. And in the story, she was telling about how several years ago, an accountant called them and said, "Hey, you know, I just want to let y'all know there's only enough money here for the next 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, we're going to run out of money and you're going to have to shut everything down." And she was laughing and she said, "Well, that's way more money than we've had in the past."
Right.
Because they have learned to trust God and his provision over the years.
Right.
Because they had to depend on him for day to day. I mean, there's a $6 million building that they put a bid on and they didn't have any money whatsoever. After they made the bid, God brought the money. They have learned to trust God in the area of finances because they trusted him in the little and he provided. And so over time, they've learned to trust him with bigger and bigger things, and they've relied on him more and more. And I know Eve and I have been the same way over the years. That's one area that I really don't doubt God, because I've seen him come through financially for us so many times. It's like bench press or anything. If there's one specific exercise that you do, you're going to grow and you're going to get stronger, right? And that some people, we always talk about this. Some people, they like to work out their upper body, but they don't work out their legs at
right.
all. So they have chicken legs and a great big upper body, right? Look like they're about to fall over. And if you have trusted God in certain areas, you may learn to grow in that and trust God in that area. So the next part of getting big spiritually is, and this is so important, and it's so cool because Sam's scripture that she had really goes to this. You need somebody to spot you. When you're working out and when you're lifting weights, if you want to grow, you can't do it by yourself. You need someone to spot you.
Right.
Like if you're wanting to lift heavy weight, don't try and do that on your own. You may get hurt. You need someone there. And so spiritually speaking, the application is you need a training partner. You need a coach. You need accountability. It's necessary for the Christian walk.
Right.
You can't make it on your own, and you can't expect to Lone Ranger Christian it without guidance or help. And that's why we're consistently told all throughout the Word that you don't forsake the assembling of yourselves in Hebrews chapter 10. It says that you're to honor those who labor among you and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. In other words, you need spiritual mentors, someone that's going to train you and help you. Like if I'm going to want to learn a sport that I don't know, I'm going to find someone who knows that sport really, really well and like follow them and get advice from them.
Right.
So in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, it says, brothers and sisters, if a brother is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. You share each other's burdens, and in this way, you'll obey the law of Christ. If you think you're too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You're not that important. Pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, this is the one I got spotting from. It says, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So when Carl first got saved and started coming to the church, sometimes he would go out to the garage and work out with me. And so I would like to encourage him and edify him as he was lifting weights. And sometimes I think maybe he didn't understand my encouragement. So I was going to have Eve tell that story about when I used to encourage him.
So when Carl first came, right, he was very quiet. That's something to know, that he didn't talk to really anyone but me. He didn't really look at people in the eye. He was extremely introverted. I know it's hard to imagine because you guys know Carl differently. Those of you that have seen him in person, you know him differently, although you might be able to tell that he's still somewhat of an introvert. But anyway, so he would come to our house and they would go work out in the garage. And I think it was probably the first time they went to work out in the garage. My husband was spotting Carl. And so Carl is lifting the weights and, you know, of course you're going like, you know, okay, you can do it one more, you know, I don't know if Jeremy said, don't be a wuss or, I don't know what he said or
I don't think
what
I
did
said.
You say like something, come on, you can do this or whatever.
Yeah, come on.
Whatever he's just encouraging, right?
Yeah.
All he's doing is encouraging, like, you can do one more. You can do one more. And, listen though, when Carl had come, I had told my husband, because my husband is a joker, right? He likes to joke. And I told him, don't joke with this one.
Yeah.
Like, don't joke with this guy, because he's going to take you seriously and, don't joke. So I think Jeremy was trying to heed that, but, it wasn't even that he was joking. He was saying, come on, you can do this, right?
Come on, let's go.
Trying to encourage him. But, Carl didn't take it that way, right? He was offended. He thought, he didn't like it. Like maybe he thought Jeremy was putting him down or something. So he came in and he was, you know, sweating, drinking some water, and sitting in the kitchen area, the kitchen dining area. And I'm, you know, I look at him because I think it looks like there's something wrong in his face. And then he was like, he said, I saw another side of Jeremy today. And I said, yeah. He said, yeah, I didn't like it. And I started laughing so hard. And I said, what happened? And then he told me that, you know, he was saying, come on, you can do that. Come on, pick up another one, whatever.
Come on.
And he thought that Jeremy was like picking at him or putting him down or something.
Yeah.
And you know what? Some of it is from our old...
Yes.
You know, our old rejection, our old, you know, bullying in school, old, you know what I mean? Family situations or whatever. And so, and I was like, oh, he's just kidding. Like, you know, he's just kidding. He jokes all the time. And, you know, because Carl trusted me, he believed me. He thought, oh, okay. I didn't, you know, took that wrong or whatever. I said, Jeremy's not like that at all. You know, Jeremy's so sweet. And, so anyway, but I think it is relevant because, you know, sometimes I'm scared to coach someone. That's really going to be the test of, are they a true, disciple?
Yes.
You know, are they a true church member when we were pastors? Are there are many of you guys that say, you know, I want you to be my spiritual mama or you're my spiritual mama. Am I really, you know?
Yes.
And so, you know, when we were, at our first unit and we were teaching in the faith-based program, the leadership had this habit of during the class of walking in and out and standing in the hall and shooting the breeze, right? And chopping it up. And at first, you know, I didn't know, was there a meeting out there? Was there something they had to do? And then I realized that it isn't anything. This is what they're used to doing. And so I'm like, open that door, go back there and tell them to get in here and sit down, you know?
I forgot what, about that.
You're not too big, too old, too smart that you can't learn. What are you doing?
Right, you know?
And what kind of example are you to your people? Because they were inmate pastors over certain groups of people.
Right.
And if you can't sit down and listen, then why are you going to have them doing it? You know, we don't outgrow when Jeremy's ministering. I'm listening. Sam's talking. We're gleaning. We're amening. We're soaking it up. It's good. It's Carl's preaching.
Yes.
You know, and so we're never too old to learn and to relearn and to remind ourselves and to get a new perspective and a deeper, you know, understanding of anything.
Yeah.
And so, but there are times. So there was this one young man or one of the young men that came in that faith-based program who was a leader. And he said to me one day, I wanted to ask you, would you be my spiritual mom? And, I said, sure. Of course, in my mind, I was thinking, do you really want that? You know, do you know what that entails? Right?
Right.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you
right.
ready?
Come on.
Are you ready?
Right.
get ready.
Come on. And so anyway, so that happened. And then, you know, he was very busy walking in and out. And I was just tired of it. One day I called him. I said, listen, I said, remember you asked me to be your spiritual mom? Yes. Do you want that? Yes. I said, then I'm going to ask you something. Yes. I said, sit down and listen. You know, you need to learn.
Yes, come on.
You need to learn. You need to get filled. How are you going to go pour out to anybody if you're not getting fed and filled? You know? And so do you see how what I'm saying?
Yes.
That we really don't know. And I was always teaching that and still do. We really don't know if you have a real friendship till you have a disagreement.
Come on. Right.
You don't know if you have, you got this girlfriend, she's so faithful, or boyfriend or whatever. You really don't know that till somebody walks by, right? Or somebody else is interested in them. You don't know if you have a true family member in this tight relationship until, something happens,
yes.
You know? And so, you know, a lot of times people don't want to be coached. They're offended by it, by your coaching. And you can say it as nice as possible and say, hey, I really think you should do this. Or maybe you could look at this way or this perspective, but they don't want the coaching or they think you're, saying in a wrong way or that you're criticizing them or putting them down when it truly is not that way.
Yeah. And so, you know, I was trying to cheer Carl on to lift the weights that day. But far more important has been the joy and privilege really for me and my wife both to be able to cheer Carl on and see him become the man of God that he is today.
Amazing. And he is amazing, I tell you. Now it's been years, the true maturity in him. He's amazing. And, you know, if there's anything that we say, hey, maybe you should try this. He's like, yes, ma'am, I will. I'm going to do better.
Yes.
He's so great. He's so coachable and great. I tell you, because that's maturity to go, where do I lack? Do tell me. I was born and raised in Ohio and, didn't speak Spanish for a while, right? So when I started learning and forcing myself in my 20s so that I could go to Mexico and speak to my relatives over there, on my own and not have a translator, right? And so, my stepmother only spoke Spanish. And so, she heard me, right? And I had said some word wrong or something. And so at church, so we got home and she said, hey, Eva. And she told me, you know, this certain word, it's said this way or whatever. And my dad was like, hey, like, you know, he was worried that I was going to get upset. And I was like, no, to let her tell me, please. I want to know. He's like, oh, you want to know? And I'm like, yes, I do, sir. Yes, I do. I want to say it right.
Yes.
You know, I don't want to be saying the wrong words. And so, you know, really that's true maturity. I want to do right.
Yeah.
You know, I want to know if I've, you know, missaid a name or misquoted a scripture or, something, please do tell me. I want to know. And, oftentimes it's just my mind said the wrong name on accident or whatever, tripped up because I didn't have enough time. But, being coachable is true maturity.
Absolutely. And, with Carl, we got to train him up as a young man of God and a disciple, and to watch him grow and get free from drugs and alcohol, and then to start ministering himself. And then he got married and we were able to disciple him as a young husband, a new husband, and as a father. But what's so awesome is, and this is when I say we need a coach and we need somebody to spot us. We were able to be that person in Carl's life, but now he's that person in our life too. When he teaches, when he preaches, we're receiving, we're learning, we're hearing what God has to say. So I want to tell you this story, and then I'm going to kind of close this part of the message about growth. I have a case that I was appointed to represent a child. And this young man, he's about 12 or 13 years old. I found out that this young man has a pituitary problem, where he was not producing human growth hormone. So he was going to be very, very, very small in stature. But they found it early on in life, and they were able to give him a shot to cause him to his human growth hormone that he gets every single day. And so when I was talking to the parents about, this is kind of new. I didn't know exactly how this worked. And I asked, how long does he have to take the shot? And they said, every day. And I said, until when? They said, we don't really know. Only when the growth plate has closed does he stop taking the hormone. And I just thought about the spiritual significance of that. We need the shot, and we can't stop getting it until the growth plate is closed. And spiritually speaking, that's never. You never. Need the shot.
Right.
You need to keep taking the shot. And so that passage that we started out with, I'm going to end with that because it is the shot. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to grow and to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, self-control with patient endurance, patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed of their old sins. And so I love what it says. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a spiritual ladder. You supplement with excellence. You supplement with knowledge. You supplement with self-control. And as you do that, you're going to grow. And you're going to keep taking that shot until the growth plate closes, which is never. You're going to always need to keep growing spiritually.
All right. And so we had been talking about growth, right? And all. And we are to be disciples, to make disciples. That's what we're called to do. And so I do want to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 16, and I think Sam read this maybe a week or two ago. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors, right? So God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offspring of our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ, okay? So we're not evaluating people by the human point of view, right? We're not being these judgy people. And every situation is different in that. I don't think we'll have time maybe to completely get into today, but every situation is different. So we had talked about, the seasons. There's a time to be born, a time to die. There's a time for war. There's a time for peace. There's a time to rebuke someone. There's a time to not do that. There's a time to answer a fool according to his folly. There's a time to not answer a fool according to his folly. And so that's how it is. And every situation is different. So we're not evaluating people by a human standard, but by God's standard. And we are to be reconcilers, right? We're to reconcile people to Christ, right? And to the way of God. And we are ambassadors, okay? And an ambassador is an accredited diplomat sent by a country, okay? This is the definition, as its representative to a foreign country. Accredited means you've shown that you meet this certain standards, right? And you're given official approval to act and you are commissioned and licensed, right? So when an ambassador is sent, say, from the United States to another country, they're sent with a message. They're sent with a negotiation and there's boundaries and limits to what they can do. They can't just go do whatever they want and say whatever they want and make whatever deal they want.
Right?
I mean, they're an ambassador. So look, so it's like, you know, an insurance agent. An insurance agent, you get in a car accident, and whether they're trying to deal with you or they're trying to deal with the personal injury attorney and his people, the insurance agent is not the top.
Right.
So they are given a top number by their people. The people will say, you know, start out at, you know, 3,000, right. You know, right. And if they'll take that, let's do that. But, you know, the highest we're going to go is 10,000 or 15,000 or whatever their high number is. Right. They want them to negotiate under that, but they're authorized to go up to a certain point.
Right.
Yes. Above that certain point, they cannot offer because they're not authorized.
Right.
Okay. So stay with me. Because an ambassador of Christ, right, is one who is sent to work as a citizen of God's kingdom, representing truth and light in a world of deceit and darkness.
Come on.
And so, you know, say you're some whatever life coach, peer educator, I don't know, you know, whatever it is, or you're just a Christian, you're a field minister, you're an inmate pastor, you're a facilitator, you're all these things, you're a minister, and we're all to be ministers. There, you know, you can't go negotiate the word of God. You don't get to say this is okay. You don't get to party with the, you know, let's smoke K2 together while I talk about Jesus.
Right.
You know, we don't get to drink hooch together. We're not, you know, being cool with everybody. And guess what? It's just like a parent being a friend to their child.
Enabling. Right.
Yeah. Their child has enough friends.
Yeah.
They don't need another friend.
Right.
And we don't need to smoke doobies with mom and dad, right? We don't need that. That's not what we need. A child needs direction. They need leadership.
Boundaries.
They need boundaries. Yeah. And they thrive within that. And they long for that, even if they buck against it.
Right.
I'm telling you, they long for that mothering and nurturing, and they long for that father, a fair father who loves them, who teaches them, who guides them, who gives them direction. And that's where they thrive. And so I find that everywhere, but, you know, ministers, that's a problem. And you know what? That it was a problem with Peter. Okay, so we're in Galatians chapter 2, and I wish I could read it all, but I don't have that much time, and I just want to show you where Peter was wanting to be cool with his people, okay? And so he did the wrong thing because he's Peter, and he messed up a lot, okay? But he still was a chosen and a disciple, okay? And so, you know, he's talking here, and chapter 2 and verse 4, let's say, even that question came up because of some of the so-called Christians there, false ones really, who were secretly brought in. They sneaked in to spy on us and take away the freedom we had in Christ Jesus. They wanted to enslave us and force us to follow their Jewish regulations, but we refused to give in to them for a single moment. We wanted to preserve the truth of the gospel message for you. and the leaders of the church had nothing to add to what I was preaching. By the way, their reputation as great leaders made no difference to me, for God has no favorites. Instead, they saw that God had given me the responsibility of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as he had given Peter the responsibility of preaching to the Jews, so those that already know God. For the same God who worked through Peter as the apostle to the Jews also worked through me as the apostle to the Gentiles. In fact, James, Peter, and John, who were known as the pillars of the church, recognized the gift God had given me, and they accepted Barnabas and me as their co-workers. They encouraged us to keep preaching to the Gentiles while they continued their work with the Jews. Their only suggestion was that we keep on helping the poor, which I have always been eager to do. But listen to this. When Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him to his face, for what he did was very wrong. When he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile Christians. He ate with the sinners, right? He ate with the Segers. Come on. He ate with the G5s and everything who were not circumcised. But afterwards, when some friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore.
Mm. Ruh-roh.
Yeah, because now the faith-based dorm people came. And he was like, uh-huh. I'm not going to eat with the Segers no more, okay? He said he was afraid of criticism from these people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. As a result, other Jewish Christians followed Peter's hypocrisy.
Uh-oh.
And even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy.
Wow.
People started following like, oy. When I saw they were not following the truth of the gospel message, I said to Peter in front of all the others, since you, a Jew by birth, have discarded the Jewish laws and are living like a Gentile, why are you now trying to make these Gentiles follow the Jewish tradition? You and I are Jews by birth, not sinners like Gentiles, yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. And we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. Okay, so I'm just going to stop right there. But you see what happened?
Yeah.
Right? Because of the pressure of these religious people, like he had been eating with the Gentiles and then all of a sudden, I'm not going to eat with them no more because I'm worried about what my homies are going to think here, what they're going to say and what they're going to do. And listen, so because of fear, right, in his life or whatever, he began to be a hypocrite. And because he wanted to be cool with a certain group of people. Yeah. And I think, you know, that's happened a lot. It happened to one of our guys in our church, and that's a story to tell. Wow, it didn't turn out well for him. Didn't turn out well. But he wanted to be cool. And so it's not okay as the ambassador of Christ to be going to, you know, minister to these guys in these different wings and wherever they're at, or as the regular Christian, because you're with your homies or, you know, people you knew and they still act that way and talk that way, that you're going to be cool with them. You call yourself a Christian, but you're doing another thing when you're with them to be cool.
Yeah.
And it's a problem. Okay.
Right.
And so it causes hypocrisy, but this is one of the biggest reasons that people do that. Right. So, we really don't have any more time today, and we're going to continue a couple of these because it's according to the situation. People are going, you know, I'm hearing a whole lot in letters and different things about hypocrisy and things like that. And I want to make some distinctions in some different situations so that you can act accordingly. And of course, in all things that we pray and we get discernment and we get direction from God, and that we're loving, right? And that we were restoring people, and that we're making sure that we lift others up around us and not bring them down, regardless of what you're doing and what position that you stand in. All right. So let's pray together, all of us. Get around. Yeah, you got your tablet in your hand. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. We give you thanks for your word and God, for what you're speaking. I ask that you answer their questions, God, that you give them your heart and your eyes. And Father, that they would love others around them, that they'd know when to restore, Father, that they'd have the discernment, Lord God, that Father God, you would unite us all because we are one body, Lord, that we would do what we're supposed to do, Father, to be clean before you. Number one, ourselves. Let's focus number one on ourselves, Father. And then we can help others around us. Father, we ask that your spirit would lead your people and that your will would be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Long hypocrite, slinging Slinging judgmental words off of the tongue like bullets. We all got a scar to show for the backstabbing brother. Use that Bible like a stone in the hand. You swore to yourself it never happened again. So you cut the ties cause you're tired of getting burned. It's hard to find truth when you're tripping over lies. The cross gets lost in the crossfire. A preacher's gonna help the people don't treat you right. Hypocrite. You can find them in the smoke and lights or right in the mirror. It's easy to point our fingers, but we all been guilty of saying one thing and doing another. Gotta check our eyes before we judge our brothers. Otherwise, we're hypocrites, chosen hypocrites. Oh, it's hard to find truth when you're tripping over lies. The cross gets lost in the crossfire. When preachers gonna help the people don't treat you right. When the church strays from the straight and narrow and trades off with some kind of far away show. Try to find truth when you're tripping over lies. The cross gets lost in the crossfire. When preachers go left and people don't treat you right. It's hard to find truth when you're tripping over lies. The cross gets lost in the crossfire. When preachers go left and people don't treat you right. When the church strays from the straight and narrow and trades off for some kind of faraway show.
Thank you.